Welcome, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode until the question-and-answer session of today's conference. At that time, you may press star one on your phone to ask a question. I would like to inform all parties that today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. I would now like to turn the conference over to your host, Ms. Kate Brogan. Thank you. You may begin.
Thank you, Vanessa. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Kate Brogan, and I'm a Public Affairs Officer for NOAA Fisheries. Today, NOAA is announcing the findings from a new report that's posted online titled the 2021 Biennial Report to Congress on Improving International Fisheries Management. This report and the work associated with it are a key part in NOAA's work to combat IUU fishing, reduce bycatch of protected species, and ensure a fair market for the U.S. fishing industry. I'm so pleased to have Alexa Cole, NOAA Acting Deputy Assistant Secretary for International Fisheries and NOAA Fisheries Director of the Office of International Affairs and Seafood Inspection, with me today to discuss the report's findings. Alexa will provide key takeaways from the report, followed by a question and answer session. Alexa's full name and that lengthy title is available on the media advisory posted on NOAA.gov. Also, if you visit fisheries.noaa.gov, you'll find a link to the full report and other supporting materials. A reminder that this call is for working media only. If you're not a member of the press, you're welcome to listen in, but please note that the Q&A time is reserved for journalists only. With that, I will now turn the call over to Alexa. Alexa, you may begin.
Thank you, Kate, and good afternoon, everyone. Thank you to everyone who's called in to learn more about this important report. As Kate mentioned, my name is Alexa Cole, and I am currently doing two roles here at NOAA, both the Director of NOAA Fisheries, Office of International Affairs and Seafood Inspection, and serving also as the Acting Deputy Assistant Secretary for International Fisheries. My work at NOAA and that of my team and our partners across the U.S. government has a central focus, which is combating illegal, unreported, and unregulated fishing, which is also known as IUU fishing, and working hard to support effective international marine conservation. IUU fishing is a threat to global food security and puts U.S. fishermen who follow our strong fishery management regulations at a disadvantage, while bycatch, or catching species not targeted by the fishery, puts shared resources at risk. Combating IUU fishing and supporting the responsible management of marine life helps ensure a fair market for U.S. fishermen and those committed to following the rules. I did want to provide a few highlights from our report and some of our top findings before opening it up for questions and answers. Under the report, there are three categories in which we are asked to consider identification for IUU fishing, for bycatch of protected living marine resources, and for directed shark catch on the high seas. In this year's report, we are identifying seven nations or entities for having vessels that are engaged in IUU fishing activities during the period of 2018 through 2020. Those seven nations are China, Costa Rica, Guyana, Mexico, the Russian Federation, Senegal, and Taiwan. What's different about this report, the report this year, is our focus on the bycatch provision. In each biennial report cycle, NOAA Fisheries collects and examines 3 years of fisheries data and reports that form the basis for the identifications of nations or entities across all three pillars. However, with respect to the bycatch provisions of the report, we have been regularly faced with challenges in finding reliable documentary evidence of bycatch incidents within that 3-year timeframe. For this report cycle, however, in addition to our standard search for fisheries bycatch data, we also looked at fisheries where vessels had actively engaged in fishing practices known to have bycatch of protected living marine resources. This approach significantly increased the scope of potential fisheries that could be identified for bycatch and therefore the number of nations and entities that could be considered for identification. In this report, we are identifying 29 nations or entities for not having a regulatory program that is comparable in effectiveness to the United States to reduce the bycatch of protected marine life in their fishing operations. I won't list out all 21 nations or entities, but you can find them in the report. We are also, in this report, announcing our certification determinations for the nations that we identified in the last report in 2019. In that report, we identified three nations for IUU fishing activities, including Mexico, Korea, the Republic of Korea, and Ecuador. This process involves us making a certification determination after a two-year consultation process whereby we work with each nation to encourage corrective action for the activities for which it was identified. In this report, both Ecuador and the Republic of Korea are receiving positive certification determinations for having taken actions to remedy the IUU fishing activities for which they were identified in 2019. Mexico, however, is receiving a negative certification for IUU fishing activities for which it was identified and by failing to curb the flow of small vessels fishing illegally in the U.S. waters of the Gulf of Mexico. As a result of this negative certification, Mexico now faces denial of port entry into U.S. ports for its fishing vessels and potential import restrictions on fish and fish products. In conclusion, these are some of our key findings in the report. A note about the next step, as I mentioned before, identification triggers a two-year consultation period at the end of which we then make positive or negative certification decisions. The next certification decisions will be made in our report to Congress in 2023. NOAA now looks forward to engaging in consultation with the 31 identified nations and entities and over the next 2 years encouraging corrective actions and necessary measures to address the identified IUU fishing or bycatch issues. This helps strengthen IUU fishing enforcement and bycatch reduction across the board. I would like to thank the NOAA staff and our partners in other agencies and internationally who are committed to making sure all nations are playing by the same rules and strengthening fisheries management on a global scale. With that, we will open it up and pass it back to you, Kate, for questions and answers.
Thank you, Alexa. At this time, we'll open it up for Q&A. Vanessa, can you please explain the process for asking questions?
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1, unmute your phone, and record your name. Your name is required to introduce your question. If you need to withdraw your question, press star 2. Again, to ask a question, please press star 1. Thank you.
Thanks, Vanessa. We'll wait just a minute while questions are coming in, and a reminder that this is for working media only, the Q&A period.
John Burnett, your line is open.
Hi, Ms. Cole, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hi, great. Thank you for taking this call. Could you please explain what you mean, denial of port entry, and then potential import restrictions on fish and fish products? What is the potential aspect of that mean? There's an enormous, very valuable amount of red snapper and lots of other fish products that are exported from Mexico to the U.S. every year. Will those be affected by this decertification?
Thanks very much for the question. Under the statutory authorities that this report is issued under in which the negative certification is made, we are able to go ahead and put port denials into effect with the negative certification. However, import restrictions must go up to the president for his approval, and therefore, at this stage, we have not yet put forward any recommendation to the president, and he has not made any determination on import restrictions. So they are available under the statute, but no determination has been made on that at this time.
Chris Chase, your line is open.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, great. So I'm interested in how there's been talk sort of at the House subcommittee level about boosting the seafood import monitoring program, and I'm wondering how the seafood import monitoring program will play a role in sort of the ongoing fight against IUU, given this IUU report has identified more nations falling under the definition of engaging in IUU. Is there going to be, you know, a push to expand that? Does this report come into play with SIMP, or is it kind of just a separate thing?
Thanks for that question. The U.S. government employs a number of different tools to combat IUU fishing, and we do work to address IUU fishing on a number of layers. We address it multilaterally through our engagement with the regional fishery management organizations and through our work at the UN and the Food and Agricultural Organization. We address it bilaterally through our engagement directly with countries that are both like-minded and those that are not, as well as through capacity building efforts. And finally, we also address it through unilateral tools such as this program and the Seafood Import Monitoring Program. Both of these programs are ones where we take unilateral action as the United States to make determinations where perhaps we have not been successful in addressing issues multilaterally or bilaterally or not been sufficiently successful. So this process and SIMP, the Seafood Import Monitoring Program, are not overlapping, but they are complementary programs that the U.S. government has to work to address illegal, unreported, and unregulated fishing. So the Seafood Import Monitoring Program is based on at-risk species that are most at risk for IUU fishing or seafood fraud. So it isn't based on nations or nations that would be identified under this report. However, as we all know, risk is not a static factor, and so under the Seafood Import Monitoring Program, we continue to reevaluate that risk for IUU fishing and seafood fraud, and we'll determine whether or not additional species should be included in that program. And that could be influenced by information that we might have about other countries that have been identified for IUU fishing, depending on where that activity occurs.
Thanks, Alexa. I'm not seeing more questions from reporters. Reporters, if you do have a question, make sure to press star one and we will get it in the queue. This is a reminder that this is a great opportunity to ask NOAA experts questions about the report and these important international issues. I'll give it a minute. Alexa, while we're waiting, if you have, is there anything else that you want to highlight either about the report or about SIMP, which you just talked about briefly in the previous question?
Sure. I'd be happy to provide some additional information. It might be worth continuing to talk briefly about the Seafood Import Monitoring Program, and then we can circle back to the report if there are some additional questions. One of the things that we are focused on recently in terms of the implementation of the Seafood Import Monitoring Program is trying to ensure that we are fully implementing the program as it exists at the moment. We have been focused on trying to, first of all, grow and strengthen our team that's been focused on the implementation of SIMP. We're also trying to build our database of statutory, regulatory, and permitting requirements for nations that export SIMP species to the United States. Through that, we are also working to enhance, expand, and modernize our IT infrastructure and build our capacity for predictive analytics to significantly improve our capacity to deter and prevent IUU fish and fish products from entering U.S. commerce. And as I talked about previously, we're also working to review our regulations and reevaluate the risk analysis to make sure that we determine whether there are additional species that are particularly at risk for IUU fishing or seafood fraud that should be added to SIMP in the future. I would note we also did recently issue a report on the implementation of the Seafood Import Monitoring Program that can be found on our NOAA Fisheries website.
if you did want the link to that, you can get in touch with Kate.
Thank you.
Kate, I don't know if there's other questions.
Thanks, Alexa. It looks like we do have some more questions in the queue. Thanks, Vanessa.
John Burnett from NPR, your line is open.
Thank you. Ms. Cole, one more question about Mexico. Did they do anything in the ensuing years to convince you all that they were trying to crack down on some of these red snapper poachers? Was there any actions that they took? I think you made some mention in the report of that. I was just wondering if there's anything that had impressed you all but still fell short.
So, as you're probably aware, this has been a long-standing and somewhat intractable problem with the launch of vessels fishing illegally in the U.S. EEZ. In recent years, we have seen progress on behalf of the Mexican government in trying to take some additional responsibility to address this issue, which was reflected in our 2019 report to Congress and the decision we made then to provide a positive certification. We have, in the past several years, started to see Mexico really trying to take some enforcement actions and issue some penalties for the illegal fishing. Unfortunately, what we're not seeing is results yet. We're not seeing a change in the behavior. So the actions that Mexico is taking, and they have been taking some, have simply not caused any change in the behavior. And in fact, we noted in our 2019 report that the key factor that was going to go feed into our decision and our certification determination was whether or not we saw a decrease in the number of launch incursions and a decrease in the number of recidivists. And unfortunately, in 2018, 19, and 20, what we're seeing is an increase in both. And so that led us to the situation we're in now, where Mexico has had to be negatively certified. But I would give Mexico, the Mexican government, some credit that they have been trying to take some steps to resolve this issue. And we do recognize that this is not an issue that is easily solved. But unfortunately, the actions taken were simply not sufficient at this stage to get a positive certification.
Thank you, Alexa, and thank you. We're showing no additional questions in the queue. Members of the media, if you do have a question, I'm going to open it up one more time. It's star one to ask a question, and I'll leave that open for just another minute. And I will note that for those that are listening in to the call, a recording will be available within a few hours, hopefully, and we'll post that on NOAA.gov on the Media Advisory website. So if you're looking for a recording, that's where it can be found. Looks like we have another question. Vanessa, go ahead.
Chris Chase of Seafood Source, your line is open.
Hi, yeah. So I'm interested in sort of the impetus behind changing how NOAA was looking into whether countries were sort of not taking a strong enough stance on bycatch. Was that motivated by a sort of an internal recognition of the lack of data and just attempting something else, or was there any external factors in the decision to kind of change how it was analyzed?
Yeah, thanks for that question. So it was a couple of different factors that I think led to the slightly different approach that we've taken in this year's report, or perhaps significantly different approach that we've taken in this year's report. As I mentioned earlier, we do work to address fisheries management issues across a variety of different spectrums, and one of them is multilaterally through the regional fishery management organization. And it is our preference if we can get strong measures adopted and binding measures at the regional fishery management organizations. There are benefits to that, because you can have the entire membership of an organization agree in one fell swoop to a binding measure to address bycatch mitigation, for example. And we have seen some progress at the RFMOs, in particular at the Western Central Pacific Fisheries Commission and at the Inter-American Tropical Tuna Commission. But where we have not seen progress at the level that we would like is at ICAT, for the International Convention for the Conservation of Atlantic Tuna. And so in that case, multilateral efforts were not being successful in that arena, and so that did lead us to think about whether or not there was a way we could use the tools that we have under the Moratorium Protection Act more robustly and be able to make a different kind of push through this process to try to gain traction on the issue multilaterally and bilaterally with the countries that we've identified. So those are some of the factors that went into our decision in terms of how we addressed this year's report to Congress.
Thanks, Alexa, and thanks, Chris. I am not seeing any additional questions in the queue. I'm going to leave it open for another additional minute, star one, to ask a question, and then we will wrap up the call. If you have any questions, media, this is your final chance. Okay. Seeing none, I'm going to wrap it up. So I'll say thank you, Vanessa, thanks, Alexa, and thank you, everyone online, for joining our call today. As I said before, a recording of this call will be posted within the next few hours on the NOAA.gov media advisory that had all the details for the media call. If you do have any other questions, please feel free to contact me directly. Again, my name is Kate Brogan. My phone number is 202-603-9651, and my email address is Katherine, Katherine, Brogan, Brogan, at NOAA, NOAA.gov. This is the conclusion of the call today, and I look forward to hearing from you soon. Thank you.
That concludes today's conference. You may disconnect at this time. Host, please stand by for your post-conference and line count.